Well, good morning. It is a joy to be in the house of the Lord. I want to welcome our visitors and family members to this special service. I hope that you have sensed the Spirit of the Lord here, because He's here. Amen. I marvel at the talent that our music worship leaders have. Thank you so much for sharing in our services. And Riley, bless your heart. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Yes, yes. So this morning, we're all familiar with baseball, right? And there's a starting pitcher, and he's called upon to start the game, and it gets towards the end of the game, and the coach goes to the bullpen and calls in a relief pitcher to finish the game out. So if you can swing that over into our circumstances this morning, the starting preacher, Pastor Josh, is ill. And so he went to the bullpen to get a relief preacher. And here I am again. It's an honor to stand before you. It's quite challenging. How many have ever stood before a congregation and delivered God's word? The process that you wrestle with, and then you prepare, and then you get up and your mouth becomes dry, and it's 150 degrees and the lights are bright, and you're praying to God, Lord, help me. And so this morning I'm asking that you would pray for me. But I thought I'd give you a play-by-play how this thing came about. And so I'm driving yesterday morning down to visit my grandson and son in Columbus. We're going to watch some football together, just hang out. Had a pretty easy day going on, right? And my phone dings. It's Pastor Josh. And I want to read to you what he sent me. Mark, turns out I picked up another one of the many things going around. I have a fever and some pretty serious congestion. Would you be able/willing to fill in for me tomorrow? Hey, when your pastor's in trouble, you say, okay, I'll be praying for you, right? So after I sent that text, the thought hit me. What did you just agree to do? You haven't studied for a message? But then I verbally say out loud, Lord, help me. And if I could give you the best advice as a brother in Christ that I could give you, when something challenging stares you in the face in life, no matter what age you are, just turn to the Heavenly Father and say these words, help me. And He will. Amen? And so, after I'd said that quick prayer, I'm driving, and this thought hits me. Be still and know that I am God. So I drive in silence for miles, and then some thoughts start coming into my mind. The Holy Spirit is ministering to me. And this question came to me: what is Christmas? What is the Christmas story all about? Do we know, and can we share that if we are asked in our journey here on earth? So I said, well, Lord, it's about the good news. It's about Jesus. And then this thought: the greatest rescue story in the history of mankind. Amen. The greatest rescue mission to save us of mankind's sin. And then this verse came to me, and I want you to turn to this in your Bibles. Proverbs 25:25. And if you would you stand with me to honor God's word? We'll read this together and then pray together. Can a Christmas story come out of the book of Proverbs? A Christmas message. Yes, it can. So, Proverbs 25:25 says this: as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you. We thank you and praise you for this day of worship that we can gather in your house and lift up your name. What a precious time we have together as brothers and sisters in Christ, but greater than that, to know that your presence is here. You are here. You are here with us. And God, we thank you and praise you for that. And God, I'm asking that you help me, you'd lead me through these scriptures. God, that you would help me to lift up the truth before your precious people. I will forever be grateful for all the times you have rescued me. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage, Solomon uses the words "a far country." I began thinking about this. How far is this far country? Can we drive to it? Could we go 1,000 miles anyway, north, south, east, or west, and find it? Can we fly to it to find this far country? Can we take a spaceship into the heavens above and find this far country? Church, I see in this, the far country is eternity. It's eternity. A timeless place we go after we die. It's timeless. It's forever. How close are we to this far country known as eternity? One heartbeat away. One eye blink away. One snap of the finger, we're in the far country. Amen? Are you with me? But we have good news from this far country, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. Because good news is what Christmas, the Christmas story, is all about. Notice in this passage, Solomon uses the word soul and the word good news. Soul is used 449 times in the Old Testament. The most quoted passage, the most familiar passage about the soul, is found in Genesis 2 and 7. And it says this: "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." According to the Holy Scriptures, our souls are going to live somewhere in eternity forever, either heaven or hell. Soul is used 79 times in the New Testament. Jesus said this word 14 times in the Gospels. The most familiar is Mark 8, 36 through 37, and it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What is the price tag that we place on our soul? And what is the price tag that God the Father places on the soul? Jesus also used another familiar passage in Mark 12, 30, and it said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." The soul is important, church. It is the most valuable thing that we have. And God wants our souls to come back to Him someday. Amen? Amen? Every soul is precious. Amen? Amen. Jesus died for every soul, and help God help us that as we meet people in our journey that we remember that whatever circumstances they find themselves in, whether good or bad, every soul is precious to the Lord. And here is the good news that Solomon wrote in that passage. I looked in my concordance. I was surprised. Good news, the wording good news is used one time. Now there's words that are similar to news like tidings, but the phrase good news is used one time. The good news of the Christmas story is Jesus is born into our world, our sinful world, to save us from our sins. He is Emmanuel, God with us. A very familiar passage in Matthew 1, 21 through 25. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." In that passage, Jesus comes to save his people. Who are his people? Everyone Amen. Every man, all people are his people. And notice he didn't say, didn't record in this passage to save his people in their sins. He recorded it from their sins. Amen. Amen. He wants us to be rescued out of our sins. This word Savior, I looked up this word. It's a noun. I was surprised there were three definitions. This word Savior, a noun, it says a person who rescues another from danger or loss. And the second definition was Jesus. I thought, wow, that's so good. The third one was one who saves, preserves, or delivers from destruction. So we see that a Savior saves. A Savior rescues. There's something that causes a Savior to rescue. And in my time as a young father, I was amazed at stories I would read to my children when they were young. There was a story, a rescue story, that just captured my attention. And I want to read this brief rescue story because it shows the heart of a man who loved his fellow man. And it goes like this. The setting is in the South Pole. If you're familiar with that, it's very, very cold. Very, 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 very cold at the South Pole. Amen? Arctic weather. Well, in 1914, Captain Ernest Shackleton, with 26 men, led a polar expedition to the South Pole, crossing the Arctic Ocean. In this expedition, the weather turned suddenly upon them to a cold, frigid blizzard with whiteouts and freezing temperatures known in that region. It got so cold that the ship froze in the sea and was unable to move. After 9 months, the vessel was crushed by the pressure of the ice and sank. All 27 men escaped from the vessel, but found themselves floating on an ice barge with their supplies and needed items that were in the ship in the frigid weather. For 5 months, they drifted on this ice barge 300 miles till they came to a little uninhabited rock called Elephant Island. I'm glad we haven't eaten yet. They ate seals and penguins for their food, nourishment, and melted ice for their water. Well, Captain Shackleton realized if he didn't go for help, they would all perish. So Captain Shackleton left his men behind and took 5 men in a 20-foot whaling boat that they had saved from the sinking ship and crossed 800 miles in frigid weather in 17 days to the island of South Georgia. There he borrowed a bigger boat and returned wanting to rescue his men. But in the first attempt, the boat froze in the waters again and he had to turn back. Returning to the island, he borrowed a bigger boat. And on the second trip, he failed, coming only 20 miles shy of Elephant Island. He had to turn back. On the third attempt, He was again turned away by the freezing ice. But in the fourth attempt to get back to the island to rescue his men, he made it. 4.5 months of his labor, he succeeded and rescued all 22 men. It was said to have been at that day and that time one of the greatest rescue stories that man had ever heard. As I began thinking about this, I realized that the Old Testament is full of rescue stories. I want to share a few with you. In the Old Testament, God always came and rescued his people when they cried out for help. We'll start with a very familiar story. In the day of Noah, the day was wicked, and God said he was going to destroy mankind. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he asked Noah to build an ark. If you build me an ark and preach to people to come in, whoever's inside of the ark, the boat, will be saved, will be rescued. And we know that Noah obeyed and followed the instructions of the rescue plan. And we know that only 8 people listened. As time progressed and men and women would multiply, Abraham came on the scene. And one day in Abraham's life, God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac on a mountain. How could this be? But Noah obeyed. He followed the instructions and took Isaac, his loved son, and laid him on an altar and had the knife in his hand. And before he thrust it to kill him, God rescued Isaac, for an angel had caught his arm and said, "Look over in the thicket, there is a ram." God came and rescued Isaac. Time goes on, and Lot finds himself in Sodom and Gomorrah, a wicked city. And one day the angels came and told Lot, "You need to flee. You need to get out of this place. You need to flee to the mountain and don't look back. Follow the rescue plan." And Lot obeyed. Him and his daughters obeyed and fled to the mountain. Didn't look back, but Lot's wife did, and she perished. Lot followed the rescue plan. Then we go to the next time in history. Little Moses is born. Little baby Moses is born. How many of you remember holding your precious little baby? But Moses was in danger. And God instructed his mother to put little Moses in a basket, in a homemade basket, and put him in the river. Think about this, church. Could we do it? Could we put our little baby in the waters? And who knows what is lurking in the waters? But she obeyed, and God rescued little Moses from that circumstance. And as Moses grew, God would call him one day back to the land of Egypt for a rescue plan to rescue the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. The children of Israel had become slaves in Egypt, and there was a rescue plan. And following the instructions, Moses had instructed them to take a spotless lamb and kill that lamb, and strike that blood upon the outward post of your door, your lintels, and you go inside, you close the door, and you roast that lamb with your shoes on. And at midnight, the death angel will come, and whoever has followed the instructions will be rescued. Sure enough, the death angel came, and Moses, by the hand of God, led the children of Israel out of slavery. They were rescued. They followed God's instructions. And we find ourselves understanding that God rescued many, many people in the Old Testament. They were asked to obey. However, all the Old Testament rescues performed by God were physical. They were physical rescues. Something was still missing in the soul of man. But enter baby Jesus. Born to a virgin, born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The Savior that was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets was here. There's a passage as I was driving to Columbus. I was listening to the account in Luke before I got the text. And this passage generated some ideas, I thought, for a possible Bible study, but I realized now it was for this message. In Luke 1, 67 through 75, Zacharias says this in God's word, and I read, "And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved.'" We could put in there "rescued." "That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our fathers, father Abraham, that he would be great unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." Zacharias had prophesied after his mouth was opened, and they wanted to know the name of his child. And he said, "His name is John." And we know that was John the Baptist. And but he prophesied about the coming Messiah and that he would be a savior. Notice in verse 71, "saved or rescued from our enemies." But it was more than a physical savior, church. Jesus would become a soul savior. Amen. A heart redeemer. Amen. Jesus would speak to Pilate these words in his time of being judged in a judgment hall. And I read to you John chapter 18, verses 36 and 37. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And the rescue story that Jesus was living out at that point was that the King of Glory left heaven to be born into our sinful world to rescue us from our sins that have poisoned our soul. He rescues us from sin and sets us free. Amen. The blood of Jesus is different than the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. This rescue plan, this Savior came to rescue us from the poison of sin that had poisoned all of our souls from the day we was born. Because Adam and Eve fell in the garden, all mankind is poisoned from point of birth with inherited sin. But this story, the good news of this story, is that this Savior is greater than sin. This Savior, this rescuer, frees us from strongholds, from addictions, from fear, from doubt, from pride, from selfishness, from hatred, from bitterness, from lying, from stealing, from lusting, from coveting, from greed, from gossip, from swearing, from drinking, from smoking, from drugs, from laziness, from lukewarmness. All these are the enemies of our heart. Amen. The Savior has rescued us with his shed blood and asks us to follow his instruction, obey his spirit, trust him, and serve him from the heart. This rescuer from heaven was born on Christmas morn and lived among us. And at age 30, he began to preach and teach about his heavenly Father, about the far country, about eternity, and how we can enter eternity. And before he left, he told his disciples, fear not, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And if I go away, I will come again. Amen. Part of the rescue plan. Amen. Jesus was crucified on a cruel cross for our sins. He laid his life down. This Savior, this one who came from heaven, from glory, to rescue us, he laid his life down because he loves us. Amen? Don't ever forget, church, the reason why Jesus was born is because he loves us and he came to rescue us. He is the only one that could rescue us from our sins. And in dying on the cross, he was put in a tomb. And for 3 days, the followers of Christ thought that his life had come to an end. But what happened, church? He arose from the grave. He has power over death. Amen? The great rescuer went back to heaven and now sits at the right hand of God the Father and makes intercession for us. Amen? He sends to us His Holy Spirit to remind us that someday He's coming back. The second time He's coming back to rescue us. Those who have been born again, those who have repented, those who have called on the name of the Lord to forgive them and entrusted their heart to Him. He has promised us that one day in the eastern skies, there's going to be a shout from an angel and a trumpet is going to sound. Amen? And Jesus Christ is coming back for those who are still on the earth to rescue us and take us home to glory. Amen? Are you waiting for that day? I am. Praise God. So as we're getting close to a time of examining ourselves, Paul has told us in the scriptures to examine ourselves. We should examine ourselves, church, because heaven is forever. So is hell. So in taking some moments here in our time of worship, I would ask you some questions to meditate upon this Christmas season. Have you been rescued from your sins? Have you followed God's instructions to be saved? Have you repented of all of your sin? Have you asked with godly sorrow for God the Father to forgive you? Have you surrendered your heart to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Have you been water baptized? Have you been filled with His Holy Spirit, sanctified for His purposes? If you can say yes to them, praise the Lord. Amen? If you're not sure, there's good news from a far country here this morning, because the rescuer is here. The Savior of mankind, the Spirit of the Savior of mankind is here. Amen? And His purpose in meeting with us is asking every one of us, are you ready? Is everything okay in your heart? Do you need anything from me today? I'm here. I'll rescue you. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you lay your heart down to me? I'll rescue you. I will rescue you. If you need rescued today, God will save your soul. Amen? What a glorious, glorious day that could be. But as we, those that have already surrendered our souls to God, we are in the gift-giving time of this season. And it's a joy to give gifts, right? The older we get, it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? What could be the greatest gift that we could give to the rescuer this morning? Is our hearts. Our hearts. And church, let me tell you something. Maybe you can identify with me. One of the greatest gifts my grandparents and my parents gave me as a child, as a youth, as a young man, is kneeling before the God who rescued them. My eyes have seen my grandparents and parents kneel before their Savior. You know what that does to a soul? Never forgets. Never forgets. And sometimes, church, I wonder, in our time of worship, it's like we're too formal. Can I get real with you? Can I? Is it okay? Why do we let pride stop us from kneeling around the altar of the Lord? And I'm just as guilty. But that's what real worship is. Amen? What did they do when they found Jesus in the stable? They knelt before the King of Glory. Amen? What could be the greatest gift this morning that we could give to our Heavenly Father, to our Savior, is to kneel before Him and say, thank you for rescuing my soul. What impact could it have on our young people and our children to see us being real in the house of the Lord? Amen? Or are we ashamed? Ouch. Ouch. Yeah, I believe, but I don't believe that stuff. You gotta. Well, I do. Praise the Lord. Kneeling before my Savior, I want to give to Him this morning my thank you for saving my soul. And this morning, I want to invite you, however God's Spirit moves you, that you would examine yourselves. What gift do you want to give to the Savior of your soul this year? Amen? Amen? If you're unable, God understands. You can raise your hands. You can raise a hand. You can sit on a pew. You can sit on the altar, you can come and stand at the cross. You can kneel at the cross. Are you thankful that you didn't have to die on that cross? Amen! Thank you, Jesus, for rescuing me. How can I keep my mouth closed? So this morning, I want to play a worship song. You could cue that up. And I would invite you just to stand in a time of worship. This is worship, church. We're just going to get real with God. We're going to communicate with the one who rescued us and tell Him thank you for being so merciful to us. And brother, if you'd want to play that, start that, I'd invite you to stand and let God's Spirit, let's get real with Him today and worship Him from our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue? hopelessly lost the way. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for coming and for saving us. And Father, you gave us the greatest gift, and let us, as we go throughout this week and as we gather together and spend time and as we give those gifts, Father, call to our memories that gift that you gave to us and the gift that we need to share with others, Father, so that others may come to know that gift that you sent for them as well. So Father, once again, we lift up the prayer requests. Father, I lift up this congregation and I just thank you for each and every soul that's here. Amen.